So you guys realize, like, and I know I texted you all this earlier, but you realize this is going to be our episode that comes out on Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas, guys. And to our listeners out there also, Merry Christmas. And everyone is looking at me scared out of their gourd right now, which is kind of amusing.
Bah, humbug.
Because we don't fucking trust you.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. What I thought we would do this time, like to start it off, instead of our normal dive right into like everybody dying, right? I thought maybe we should go around and real quick, everyone say what your favorite and least favorite Christmas song is, starting with Jeremy. Jeremy, what's your favorite and least favorite Christmas song? Now, before anyone answers, I'm going to also say this. If anyone says two for either one of the categories, I'm taking away a challenge coin.
Ooh.
So you can say one for one and one for the other, but if you go, I actually have two, I'm taking away a challenge coin.
This is easy.
If you don't have it yet, Jeremy, we can skip to
whoever
said this is easy.
I like Baby It's Cold Outside. Is it actually...
Rapist.
It is kind of rapey. Yeah,
that's got real, a little rapey. Bad rape vibes.
You know what? That's fine. It works. It's because fine. It's fine because my wife also, it's one of her favorite Christmas songs. So it works. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, this whole segment's getting cut now.
Feel free this to is name what you any. Get. Yeah, this is what you get.
Feel free to name any other Christmas songs that you want.
My least favorite, I will not name, but it's Paul McCartney.
Yep.
Because Paul McCartney.
The worst Beatle. And probably will be the last one standing.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like Dave Grohl.
Yep. Yeah. Kyle. For everybody else at home, since this is audio-only format, you should have seen Kyle's face. It was great. I might clip it and share it with you for Christmas.
He's very sad. He's very sad.
He was very offended by the Dave Grohl comment. Yeah. Chris, favorite, least favorite?
The Little Drummer Boy favorite. That one gets me every time. Least favorite is pretty much every other Christmas song. I worked in retail at one time. And during the holidays, they put on a CD with every freaking Christmas song on repeat. So I hate them all. Jingle Bells especially.
I think he loses the challenge coin for that one.
I didn't name two. I said all. Others.
Which is technically more than one.
I mean, rules is written. Adam said two, so he did more than two.
If we have to narrow it to one, Jingle Bells.
I knew it was going to be Chris.
Well, actually, I have two.
Actually, I have all.
Yeah. I've been waiting for this. I have this list right here.
And you're going to hear about it, Postmaster General.
Whose address is Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, USPS Headquarters, 47 L'Enfant Plaza, Southwest Washington, D.C., 202-600-0010. For anyone who wants to write an angry letter to the Postmaster General.
Don't.
It's public information.
It is public information. But don't write them an angry letter. They got work to do. I got things they got to do.
It's really, he probably wouldn't read it anyway. It'd be whoever his secretary is or whatever. Brian, you're up. Favorite, least favorite?
Least favorite, Mariah Carey. Because.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And favorite is Paul McCartney.
No. Are you for real?
For real.
Are you just fucking with me?
No.
Oh, God. It's the worst, man.
It's the most upbeat.
Put him in timeout.
Simply happy.
Oh, God.
I think that's the first time Kyle's ever been to timeout.
I might be with Jeremy on this one. I hate that fucking song.
On Paul McCartney's Simply Having, or Wonderful Christmas Time? Yeah, yeah.
I hate that fucking song.
Right, Kyle, favorite, least favorite?
Favorite, Mad Russian's Christmas by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Least favorite, have you heard the weird Christmas Shoes song where they get like an actual child to sing very falsetto? It is the creepiest Christmas song.
No.
No, but you just reminded me of Happy the Christmas Clown, which is also a very creepy Christmas song by Conway Twitty and like his grandkid. And it's really weird.
Ooh, I forgot about the donkey song too.
Oh yeah.
Donkey song?
Yeah. You've never done the Christmas donkey song?
No.
It's the only Christmas song you get to go hee-haw, hee-haw, right in the middle of the song.
Is it about Tijuana? Is that what that one's about?
See, I was going to go there and I thought I would get put in time out.
No, just for Paul McCartney. That's it.
Well, actually, that's not a Christmas song, but New Year's Day is a really good one.
The U2 song?
No. It's a Texas country artist, and it's a song about New Year's Day on the border. Mm. And it's actually pretty good. I don't remember.
That sounds topical.
And then Jeremy breaks the rules by picking a song that's not a Christmas song.
It was tangential. It was somewhat related to Donkey Show because it's in that realm.
My favorite is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, but specifically the Judy Garland version of it, because that's amazing. And I love those lyrics better than the Frank Sinatra one, even if I really like Frank Sinatra. And my least favorite is also fucking Paul McCartney, because I fucking despise that song so much. And it is a perfect example of why Paul McCartney was the worst, or I'm sorry. You know what? Eventually, one day down the road, he will no longer be around and was the worst Beatle, will be accurate. So I'm going to stick with that one. Was the worst Beatle.
Show us on the doll where Paul McCartney hurt you.
Technically, there's a conspiracy theory.
I love fake Paul.
that current Paul is fake Paul.
Yeah. Fair. So, okay, maybe I don't hate Paul McCartney. I hate the current Paul McCartney.
I don't hate Paul McCartney. I hate the idea of Paul McCartney.
I hate Fall, or whatever they call him.
I just hate that fucking song.
Yeah, that song's awful. But, like, compare it to, like, the John Lennon one. Like, the John Lennon one's great. It's actually a great,
it's
like,
awesome
composition. Like, it's a good song, whereas fucking... Wonderful Christmas Time is just like him singing the bass line, you know, and like all the instruments are playing the bass line. And it's, God, everyone always uses Live and Let Die as a great example of like, oh, Paul McCartney, Live and Let Die. The best version of that song was done by Guns N' Roses, you know. But anyway, I digress. This shouldn't have all been about how much we hate Paul McCartney, but.
Well, I
shot him some love, so y'all can hang out. I don't care.
How dare you, Brian?
How dare you?
Yeah, I know I'm the lone defector on most things.
But yeah, so I thought we'd start off with something like that. And just kind of...
What was supposed to be a happy and positive affirmation for Christmas in turn
hate towards Paul McCartney.
Yeah,
that song is the candy corn of Christmas songs.
Oh, man. But the other thing is it being Christmas and the common way with the John Lennon song to do Christmas is like Xmas, right? I figured we'd do XP for this one because we haven't done that in a bit. See? Oh, I was like, it's been a bit since we've done XP. So I figured that was a good place to start. So let's start with the main team. Because we're not doing XP for just the main team this time. We're going to do it for fucking everybody.
What?
All of them.
That's cool.
You know, we haven't done XP for the CONUS group. We haven't done XP for the tank crew. So we're just going to do a bunch of XP out there for all y'all. So
now I'm suspicious.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, everybody gets XP because nobody's living after this episode anyway.
This is our last episode. That's all I'm saying. Merry fucking Christmas.
And the show's wrapping up here.
2024, no DDA.
It's been a fun run. Fuck off.
Actually, what's interesting is today, there was actually a comment on one of the, not today, today, but today is as us recording it. Somebody was like, was listening to 53, I think, and I asked it in that one, like, what was your favorite episode of the last year? And their comment was the Christmas special, which made me happy from last year, because that was one of the ones we all put a lot of fucking effort in, and it was awesome. It made me happy.
I love the Christmas special.
Definitely a dope episode.
Yeah, so I was pretty happy about that, especially since I went through recently and, like, remastered it and took out my burp.
You're ridiculous.
Well, I took out the burp that I did for the two burps that I did with Emmett's dad.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I was like, hey, they need to go. Anyway, XP for everybody. So happy XP miss. Yes. Is that weird? Does that sound weird?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds like what happens when you get it all over the floor.
I'm going to stick with it.
That's like when you don't turn on the bathroom light and then
I'm going miss. With it. X-penis.
Yeah, that's how you miss. That's how you miss. You just go with it.
All right. So everyone is going to get their one challenge coin for participating, obviously.
Hey, we showed up.
Everybody has showed up at least once for one of these sessions at some point in time. So for anyone keeping track at home, Jeremy has 11 challenge coins.
I have one.
One?
I have one.
It says 11. Oh, you're about to spend them?
No. They're preoccupied.
Well, you have 11. Right. That's what's there.
Don't tell them what's in my savings account.
I'm telling them. There's 11.
Always the contrarian.
Pot, kettle pot.
That was kind of the joke.
And Chris has 7. Brian has 9. And Kyle has 7. So everybody's still got a whole bunch. All right. Now on to the rest of the things about the characters themselves. So did you follow your moral code despite significant risk to yourself or your group?
Are we just going blanket, or are we starting with a specific group and going through these?
Valid question.
Tell you what, if you can chime in on one of these with any one of your characters, let me know, because a lot has happened, and I'm going to try to keep you all honest, and you all have listened to everything that's happened so far and or participated, so you let me know.
I'm sorry, which one is this, moral code, or which one is this?
Did you follow your moral code despite significant risk to yourself or your group? What is Stanisław's moral code?
Intentionally causing suffering is evil.
Okay, that's probably not.
So Jediah on the tank crew likes to save people, and like he was boy howdy trying to save a random guy.
I 100% agree. That's one XP for Jediah.
Maybe Natalie? I don't know if it's significant risk or not.
Explain.
The dog. Because her thing is the greater good, and I just don't know how much risk the dog was shooting it.
Yeah, not as far as the greater good. I wouldn't.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. It was stealing their food, so.
Yep. It was, but, you know, is that the greater good or her own personal good with her own food?
Well, one dog against, you know, an entire town.
That's a stretch.
it's fine. I'm just throwing it out there.
Anybody else? Moral code? Anybody think that one of their characters?
I'm not sure if this is moral code or if this is just Murph being Murph. But the moral code I have for him is his and the team's survival takes higher priority over a moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
The moral compass part, though, I think that might just be him. But he's done some things to try to keep everyone alive that are questionable.
Do you think that it...
Well, partially, it's because he freaked out because of the psychosis. So I don't know if it's fair to say that's his moral code or if I got forced into it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that one counts on that one. But I do see where you're going with it. But because that didn't really put the group in danger. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the thing, despite significant risk to yourself or...
Well, backing the truck into the burning church. But again, that was because of...
Oh, no. I understand what you're saying. Yes.
What's Emmett's moral code?
The only thing necessary for triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
So you were active in grabbing the paraplegic commander off the cross before we killed her in a different way. But it was a good try.
Accidentally.
And then, ironically, Harrison's moral code is helping his friends stay alive and do whatever he can to help without compromising his beliefs and moral code. But that would be...
Right, but that's a really weird moral code that just self-references itself, and you should probably write one that doesn't.
All right.
It only exists to, like, reference itself at that point. It's an Ouroboros?
Ouroboros.
Ouroboros?
Ouroboros, yeah. Like, it's just eating its own tail. But, you know.
Stanislav risking his own life to deactivate the shape charge.
Didn't we XP send?
Yeah, I think we XP'd since.
Did
then.
We?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I guess I got one.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
I know. Yeah, it has been a bit. It has been a bit. Last time we XP'd was when Kyle yelled at me for not having XP'd.
Wait, is that all it takes? Kyle, yell at him more often.
Yeah, he tries. It just.
All right, I'm going to move on, unless someone comes up with something good. Did you risk or sacrifice something significant to realize your big dream? Here's the thing. You all have been heading towards Krakow in the first place to try to find Keanu. Like, that's kind of Emmett's whole thing. So I would definitely say at least Emmett gets one for that at this point.
Stanislav is to see Harrison get home.
I'll count that.
Okay.
Back to the tank crew. Jed was fairly non-combatant, but picked up a rifle and killed some guys.
For the big dream, though? What's his big dream?
I didn't have one. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was to save his friends. I thought that's what you asked.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I mean, that's almost the opposite. That's going against his moral code to save his friends, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
we moved on from moral code.
Yeah, no, but did you risk or sacrifice something significant? I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll count that. I think that's fine. So he's risking his own moral code. That actually means he has to pick a new one, by the way.
Yes, I completely 100% agree.
Yep. Risk or sacrifice something significant to realize your big dream. Murph, your big dream is to help Emmett, isn't it?
Help Emmett find his son. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to give you one for that. I think that's reasonable for Murph. What is Harrison's?
It is to get home and live on his farm and take Stan with him.
Okay. So Harrison also gets one. If anybody has a character that they do not want to reveal what their big dream is, that's fine. But we'll figure out a way to cover that.
No, but also no.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I didn't think there was anything there. So, anybody else? Big dream? Conus? Professor?
I got to get back to that. I didn't have a definitive answer. I'd had a few things, but deleted them all.
Okay. All right. I guess that covers everybody then. All right, we'll move on to the next thing. Did you travel at least one hex on a travel map? All of them are going to get one.
Yes, sir.
So Natalie gets one. Professor gets one. Keanu. Oh, did we even cover Keanu at all? Brian, what's Keanu's moral code / big dream?
Keanu is moral code is still drop in, pull in, kick out, which is all surfer lingo. And then big dream is still live up to father's standard. So. And no, neither one of those is what he has done so far.
Okay.
Oh, poor Keanu. God, man, just knowing his big dream makes me sadder for him.
Gordon. I think we skipped Gordon in this, too.
He ain't done much.
What?
He's traveled a hex.
What's his big dream?
Go from a person who took what this war and world had given him and became a person more prepared for any and all the harsh realities that came before he expected those. Become a person the squad can at some point rely on.
You know what?
And instead he's catatonic.
Well, he is now, but he's also risked himself a lot. Yeah. So he should definitely get one for that at least. So he's at 2. I think he should get one for that. Yeah. All right. Did you overcome one or more dangerous events using violent or nonviolent means? All of them are going to get one for that. So everybody. Uh-huh. And did you risk your life for your PC? Who is your buddy? So that's a question. Who's everybody's buddies?
Natalie is the only other character that was with me in CODA. So.
Do you think the professor risked his life for her or vice versa? Because I can't think of a specific situation where they weren't both just involved in a gunfight, you know?
No, yeah. I don't think she gets one for that.
Yeah. I mean, the professor did drink the coffee.
Professor did drink the coffee. It could have been laced with something.
Maybe he gets one for being the taste tester. Brian, I know that Emmett's is Murphy, right?
Right.
Do you think at any point he did that, risked his life for him?
No, I mean.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, no, dogfight, he would not in particular. I mean, really the only thing would be is Murph's the one who launched him into the flaming church. But that was kind of, that wasn't exactly me risking my life for him. It was my life getting risked by him.
Right, right. Okay, let's see. So Emmett, no. Stan, Harrison.
I don't. The only instance I could think of that might count is when they're going through the gate to Krakow. The rest of the times he didn't really risk his life, but even then it was trying to get both of them in. So I don't even know if that counts.
Yeah, yeah.
What about maybe we did XP since then? But when you tried to get him into the brush by the river.
No, I wouldn't count that because he was just like, hey, because Stanislav wasn't risking his life to get Harrison there. He was just telling him where to go was all.
He was just also bolting. Yeah.
Right. Right. So I wouldn't necessarily count that.
Murphy, who's your buddy? Is it? It's Emmett, isn't it?
Yep. It's Emmett. I was thinking on that too. And again, most of my air quotes, any heroic actions are due to psychosis, not decision-making.
Yeah, just going berserker. All right.
Gordon had recently taken Murph as a buddy, but I don't think anything transpired to help that.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. And then Jed, Keanu, and Anderson, I can't think of an example with them.
LT was his buddy, and that didn't work out too well.
No, yeah, he got popped for story reasons.
Wait, can he get an XP?
LT? No. Oh,
okay. I feel like Butler took control of the situation and became the leader of the group, but I don't think he risked himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to figure out if that would apply in any way for XP, but I can't think of
it. I mean, the only thing would be was when he was getting them out, he'd go first and then he followed after them, but.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll probably have to hold off on actually spending them until everyone's rested, because that's the other rule. So we'll hold off on that. Coolness under fire. I'm fairly certain everyone had to roll coolness under fire at some point in all of these situations. So
way more often than Murph would have liked.
So let's go ahead and do that bit of it, that after each session in which you've made a coolness under fire roll and succeeded, you have a chance to increase your coolness under fire, roll a base die for your coolness under fire. So that means without the unit morale, just the base die. If the result is a 1, increase your coolness under fire by 1 step. And this is obviously for anybody who does not already have an A. So Jed, what's Jed's coolness under fire?
A C.
All right. Roll me a D8.
4.
Nope. All right, Keanu.
Keanu, 3. Nope.
Nope. Butler.
He's got a D.
All right, roll a D6. That's a 2. So, nope. All right, Natalie.
Natalie rolled a 6.
Okay.
So, that's a nope.
All right, Professor.
That's a D, so running a 6. 4. Nope. Negative.
All right. Stan.
Stanislav. Rolled a 2.
Yeah.
So close.
So close. So very close. Emmett is probably already at an A, right?
Emmett is at an A, yes.
Yep. Murphy also at an A.
Yes, but Harrison's at a C.
All right. Harrison.
So D8.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, 6.
That, yeah, you're looking for a 1, so nope.
Oh. He said, ooh, 6.
Ooh, 6. It's like, yeah, it's only on a 1. Does it go up?
Son of a bitch.
And Gordon.
6. Ooh, a 6.
Ah. All right. Unit morale. Now we get to adjust that shit for all three of these groups. So let's start with the main group, the team, as we've referred to them. Your unit has been combat and defeated its enemies, yes, so it's at least going to go up. That's right off the bat. A member of your unit has been killed or fatally wounded. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even need to read the rest of them. So up 1, down 1.
Yeah, that's why we're at a D.
Yep. Up 1, down 1. That's where we're at still.
Still at a D. All right.
At least we're consistent.
Right.
All right. So, yeah, the team is to let it be. Jed, Keanu, and Butler. The unit has been in combat and defeated its enemies. I mean, it ran away successfully, so...
We killed everybody in the first gas station.
That's an interesting point. Okay, yep. All right, I'll say it would at least go up by one.
Yeah, but then we lost Lieutenant Kim, so it goes back down.
However...
Lieutenant Kim shouldn't count, because that was a fiat. I'm going to go ahead and, like...
It's going to cost us
lobby for the players, because that doesn't seem right.
Fair. I think that's fair. Yeah, so it can go up by one. I don't know what it's currently at. Did anyone have command out of the three that are left?
Lieutenant Kim did.
Yeah, but his command doesn't help them.
Nope, sure don't.
Nope, so it's at a D, basically. So their unit morale is at a D, because I don't think anybody had command.
I had the unit morale at a C before.
Yeah, that was from... Well,
that was from Kim.
Yeah, that would have been from Kim.
It
would have been a B from Kim.
From Kim, and then... Yeah. But it can only be, like, whoever the highest command is. And if there isn't a highest command, then he might have a C, like, coolness under fire, like, his own coolness under fire, but the unit morale is going to be, like, whatever the highest command is, or adjusted. And the adjusted is going to be from a nothing to a D, so.
So, D and a D for Butler.
Yep. Natalie and the Professor.
Oh, yeah.
Natalie, let's see, have they defeated an enemy in combat? Sure.
Yep.
They've helped other people in some material way. These are the other things that are cool, but we got to skip those most of the time.
We did.
At least one hex. Yep. Yeah. I mean, all of it's just one. It's if any of these up by one, if any of these down by one. It's not a up and down.
Gotcha.
I just like to know we got off. We, you know, we did more than one.
Yep. Kyle's a completionist. We want to know.
That also has something to do with, like, what I consider a session in the amount of time. So I'll say they went up by one. So they're up by one, whatever their unit morale was.
We're doing pretty good for being POWs at the moment.
That goes from a C to a B?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Which is impressive considering they're currently imprisoned in some prepper camp at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, redefine your moral code. That's where we're at now. Does anyone think that they want to redefine their one of these characters' moral code or define it because it had not been defined previously?
Yeah, I'm working on Noah's now.
Okay. Jeremy, either Natalie or Stan?
No, they're pretty firm in their core moral code.
Okay. Chris, either Harrison, Murphy, or Butler?
I'll have to dial in Harrison's a little bit better, but it'll be the same gist. Butler's is anyone or anything can be fixed and used. That was straight. He's very generic because he was straight out of the pre-gen. So I might tweak them.
I mean, the Butler one still works. You could just be like if he's trying to manipulate somebody, that would totally fall under that, you know? But I don't know what his persuasion is. So
yeah, I'll have to tweak them a little. Harrison's will stay the same, just needs to be more specific.
Mm-hmm. What about Murphy?
His will stay the same.
Kill all lowercase t.
His and his team survival takes higher priority over moral compass. Yeah.
Kyle? Jed?
Yeah, Jed's has got to be rewritten.
What about Gordon, or for this case, the farmer?
Yeah, the farmer's working on.
Okay.
Relatively new.
Yeah, he is pretty new.
We don't know him yet.
All right. Seek a new dream. Natalie? No.
Not yet.
Stanislav?
No.
I didn't think so.
No.
Chris? Butler? New dream?
Nah, his dream is to live a quiet, peaceful life back home, have a mechanic shop.
Okay. What about Murphy or Harrison, as far as their big dream?
Murph will stay helping him. No, Harrison's still going to go home, live on his farm with, and bring Mr. Stan with him.
Mm-hmm. Brian?
Nope, they'll both stay.
Okay. I had a feeling that was going to be the case. I didn't think that was going to change too much. Kyle?
Same.
So no change on Ned, Professor, or Gordon.
Same, same.
Okay. Buddies. Jeremy? I mean, Natalie really only has one option, so Stan.
Stanislav is sticking with Harrison.
Yeah.
That's unchanged.
I figured. Chris? Who's Harrison's buddy right now?
Mr. Stan.
Yeah, and you're probably going to keep that, I assume.
Absolutely. And Butler's got Keanu, that'll stay, and Murph and Emmett. They're stuck together at the hip, whether they like it or not.
All right. Brian? Keanu?
Keanu currently is buddy-less, and I think he'll probably stay that way for right now. He was Lieutenant Kim at the time. I don't think we've moved far enough past that yet. And Emmett will stick with Murph.
Okay.
I love the idea of going without a buddy, because it gives mechanical benefit and nerfing yourself. Nerfing the characters. Yeah.
It does nerf the character a little bit, because you can get a bonus on rolls if you're helping your buddy. All right. Kyle, I'm assuming. Yeah.
Yeah. Noah's sticking with Natalie.
Mm-hmm.
Jed lost LT and has yet to pick anybody up. Farmer has yet to make a relationship, and Gordon is sticking with Murph.
Okay.
That's because he's catatonic. He can't really change anything.
He could.
We're bonding in our own psychoses.
He's just sitting in the house staring at Murph.
I love lamp.
Love lamp. All right, well, that pretty much covers all of the developing your character stuff. I think we've pretty much covered all of that.
Well, that was Christmas episode. Yeah. Have fun, everybody.
Almost. I mean, we're not quite done yet.
May I ask a quick question?
Changing
butlers?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Would helping the guys make it out alive and risking him and willing to risk himself to lead them out?
How did you lead?
I'm fine with that.
He took control.
That's his moral compass.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm not trying to get experience point here. I'm trying to see if that's a fair moral code.
That's actually one of the examples in the officer
archetype
is getting your guys home.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's reasonable. That's a good one.
And yeah, he's not.
I mean, and he also was the first one to up and bolt when, you know, the Soviets were like patrolling in on their location. So that was probably what he was trying to do there.
Like, oh, yeah. I forgot we ran through the woods like cowards. That makes sense. I forgot that.
The best part was the Soviets had already failed their recon role. And I was just describing it for dramatic tension. And they were going to walk right by you guys in a very cool, like, cinematic way. And then Butler got up and ran. And I was like, okay. Yeah, well, now they see you.
He got up and ran and told them to follow him.
I know. But it's just,
at that point, they didn't have a choice. They had to.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, fuck.
Well, they didn't have to. They could have just laid there, and then Butler would have been the only one that got shot.
Shocker. Like you've got us a little gun shy.
I was just trying to build dramatic tension.
Both of you guys seem very shell-shocked almost. So he's a street smart guy, and he feels like he needs to try to get you guys out.
Yep. Yeah. No, I think that's a reasonable moral code to have. Yeah. All right. So what I have for experience, in case you guys missed it or didn't get it all, was Jed has 3, Keanu has 2, Butler has 2, Natalie has 2, the professor has 2, and then Stan, Emmett, Murphy, Harrison, and Gordon all have 3. So that's where we're sitting as far as XP.
Yep, yep. Do Merry we get any Christmas. Extra challenge coins for outstanding anything?
I'm pretty sure I handed them. Did I? You know what? I don't know if I gave them out right after the church fight, but you all should get one for that. Because
the
you
church
all,
fire?
Yeah, that's what I meant by church fire. Sorry, the church fire. Yeah. after the church fire, because you all rolled with that like fucking champs. So, yes.
Woo!
And the fact that you all went along with the whole Murphy slams on the gas thing. And half of you were there before I got there.
It's like, oh no.
No, no, we know how this plays out.
Before you even talk about it.
Emmett really rolled with it, but that was to put out the fire.
He also kind of tumbled as he went in.
He didn't have a choice to roll with it.
Yeah, he was rolled after the fact to put out the fire. Yeah, so that's the end of the character development phase of this episode.
I think Murph wants a promotion. You know, if Emmett's a captain now, I think Murph should be a first lieutenant.
He just has to kill a lieutenant with his bare hands. Yeah, that's how you get promoted,
apparently, in this world.
He just has to steal his bars.
Yeah, you gotta break his neck with your bare hands.
I mean, the major's body is still in the church.
I outrank you now, Emmett.
In front of.
Yeah, Brian's right.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. In front of.
Yeah, I got it out.
Some little kid is running around right now with the major leaf on it. I'm a major now. Oh, shit. All right. So should we get back to the story for the end of this, I guess?
Oh, I thought we were just going to have a good time bullshit. No. No.
No. I mean, we could.
You guys Merry Christmas, everyone. Something? Goodbye.
Ending this one on a high note. This is it.
Woo! See you next year.
Well, you guys didn't use up enough time. Or we'd be able to. All right. So this is where I want to go. We open on a beach. We see Keanu and Emmett sitting on the beach. They're both in suits, right? But they're barefoot sitting in the beach. Kind of sitting there looking out at the setting sun. And we kind of get the impression from the somber look on their face that it's post Emmett's dad's funeral. Maybe we had that shot earlier where it was like we could see the casket and just kind of like shots of the funeral. And him in the casket because he had a massive heart attack during the pig roast. Keanu's a early teenager at this point when this is happening. So, Kyle, you are still more than welcome to play Keanu.
Dad, who were most of those people today? A lot of people there.
Most of them were what was left of guys that he served with. They didn't come around much, but I think a lot of them hung around together there at the hall.
I never saw Grandpa with too many friends, but boy, today it seems a lot of people knew him and might miss him.
There was a time that your grandfather did a lot of good. There was a time. But a lot of good that he did, it took a toll on your grandfather, Keanu. Some wounds you can't always see.
Hopefully, will this sadness, I mean, will it go away? It's so crazy to think that I'll never hang out with him again.
Well, it's not that we won't ever get to hang out with him again. It just won't be on this side of heaven, boy.
Hopefully that's a long time away from me.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope you got a lot of life left to live. And I hope you make it a good one.
Did Grandpa make it a good one? Think he was happy with his life?
I think your grandfather tried his best. He tried to do what he could. But it ain't easy always, Keanu. And what's the right decision doesn't always come through without consequences. It's because you're doing what's right doesn't mean it doesn't still cost you something.
What a day.
I kind of want to cut to a Gordon flashback, but I don't have a good one. So, Kyle, we cut back over to the farmhouse, and we see the meeting happening with the farmer and his neighbors and everything. He was explaining the situation. Y'all were hashing out discussing what had happened with the visit from the doctors, quote-unquote, that had shown up. And we see Gordon still sitting there, and we kind of, like, zoom in closer. And where does that go?
That goes back to Canada. We see Gordon just as he's preparing to ship out. We see him just, you know, with all kinds of books, big smile on his face, eager to get to know the rest of the people he's going to be going on this great adventure with. Because at the end of the day, Gordon thought this was his big opportunity. And he sees the guy who's supposed to be in charge of his unit, a guy named Henry. And he goes up to him all kind of excited. And he goes, "All right, guys, you know, I'm here to help. Whenever we get there, translation, this should be a good time. You know, I can't wait to anything you guys need. Just so let me know."
"Son, where we're going, I don't think you're going to need all those books."
"I've done everything I can to be prepared."
What books is he bringing?
Polish. Books on the different languages there he's got with him. And maps and things like that, because he thinks he's really going to be helpful. He's got it in his mind. I thought he
had like a copy of Lord of the Rings.
Exactly, yeah. Right. He's got the appendices there, and he's completely ready to go.
"Son, I really think you should trim down the number of books you're taking with you. That's just going to be extra weight in your pack."
"Okay. I mean, it's going to be a tough decision, but if that's what you say, sir, I will follow you anywhere."
We go over to Murph, who's in the bathroom.
Still puking and shitting, apparently.
Well, he's not feeling well. His stomach is bothering him. And, we get a little flashback from him. Where do we go with that, Chris?
I was actually thinking back similar to Gordon, actually. After that, man, the last Christmas episode, when he went home to the bar and saw his friends and everything, the next time he shipped out, he realized that he doesn't belong home. Going off and doing black ops and eliminating targets and missions, that's where he doesn't feel comfortable home anymore. So it's kind of like with a somber parting, like, I'm not coming back here.
All right, so we go back into the farmhouse, back into the house, and we see the locals, and I'm assuming Emmett's there too, Brian? Am I right?
Yeah. Emmett's still there.
Probably the meeting's happening in the kitchen, I guess. That seems like a good place for a meeting area.
Well, yeah, especially with a group of farmers.
Yeah. Just kind of all standing around discussing what their next step is.
"I just got such a bad feeling from this, and I have a feeling that they're going to come back, and it's going to be something we've got to fight for our lives for. I'm not volunteering you guys and your families for this, but boy, I think we have to be ready, and I'd love any help we can get. But I completely understand if that's not what you're prepared for, because I feel ill-prepared for this."
Do you think they're coming back? I mean,
of course they're coming back.
They said they were coming back with medicine, but...
"And there's a possibility their motives are fine. And they really are looking to stop the spread of disease. But boy, it didn't feel like that in the house. It felt like we were being marked for destruction."
At that, all of a sudden we hear, poof, and everything goes to white. And I'm going to give you guys a peek behind the curtain real quick before we go too far down this way. So, peek behind the curtain. The card that this encounter was based off of. Jeremy's making that face because I already told him what this card was, and he knows how terrible bad this is.
Six radioactive bears.
Nope. That would be way better. It was a card called Shoot on Sight, right? Which, according to the card, would have been Soviets, yada yada. I am reinterpreting it to be the WHO, which have their own motives, right? And who their own thing that they see as the enemy, right? So it's like Soviet soldiers searching for enemy stragglers. Their enemy straggler is this disease, right? Now here's where it gets really fucked up. If they spot the PCs, i.e. the disease, or at least what they interpret to be the disease, they attack and call in fire support from a 122 howitzer.
And there are two homes marked with red.
There
and
are.
I'm currently in one of the homes marked with
you red. You are. Now, also, according to the card, they would use HE rounds. But, yet again, reinterpreted based upon what their motive and goals are, it's not HE rounds that they're using. It's Wooly Pete, also known as white phosphorus rounds.